The readings today seem to all be about the call. And when we think of that, most of us tend to think immediately that it's a vocation to the priesthood or the religious life or to the diaconate or something of that nature. It's like a full-time dedicated religious, or you're dedicated to the service of the church full-time. That's pretty much what we think of when we hear this call business. But it is a much broader term, there's a greater understanding of this. And the greater understanding is that every one of us has been called, and in baptism, we are called by Christ, and once we are baptized, we are sent. Just as all of these stories we read about in the scriptures today. We read about Isaiah. He has this vision of God, some vision of God, and of course, anyone who saw God, they were going to die immediately. That was the understanding. It seemed kind of strange, but that was the understanding at that time. So anyway, Isaiah immediately falls on his knees and confesses that he is a sinful man. And the angel of the Lord comes and with those hot embers cleanses his mouth so that his sin is forgiven. And immediately once that is done, the Lord says, "Whom should I send?" And Isaiah said, "Send me. You can send me." He takes on that grace that God is offering to him, and he does what God wants him to accomplish. But when God calls, he also sends. Just keep that in mind. St. Paul, he's on his way to Damascus to hunt down more Christians so he can put them to death. Remember, he was a very devoted rabbi, very devoted to his, and very bright man, an extremely dedicated person, the kind of person you probably wouldn't want to be around. He'd drive you nuts. But that's the kind of person he was. So he's on his way to hunt down more Christians when he has this vision of the risen Christ. And he falls to the ground, he wakes up, he can't see. And the Lord speaks to him, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul says, "Who are you? Who am I persecuting as, who are you?" And Jesus said, "I'm Jesus, the one you were persecuting. Whatever you do to my people, you're doing to me." Well, Saul underwent this huge conversion, had a huge change of heart. And what does Christ do? He sends him. He sends him to go out to be the apostle to the Gentiles, and he was very, very effective in doing that, preaching the message of Jesus to the Gentile world. Interesting that Jesus would choose a rabbi to do that, since he was having such a hard time with people reaching out to that Gentile world. And then the story in the gospel today is very interesting. Jesus kind of commandeers Peter's boat. He's being pushed toward the lake by the crowd, and rather than getting pushed into the water, he steps into Peter's boat and asks him to just put out a few feet so he's safe from the crowd, and at the same time he can deliver his message. And then when he does, St. Luke doesn't tell us what that message was, but then the story really is about Peter. And so Jesus said to him, "Why don't you put out into the deep for a catch?" And of course, now this is the carpenter's son telling this pro fisherman what to do. And Peter, remember, said, "I've been out here all night. There's nothing out here tonight." And Jesus said, but he said, "At your word, I'll trust you. I'll do it." And you know the story. And so when Peter saw this giant catch of fish, he immediately has a sense of his unworthiness, that he is in the presence of Jesus, he is a sinful man. So he falls on his knees in front of Jesus and said, "Depart from me. You don't want to be around me. I'm not a good person." But Jesus, remember, said to him, "But now, Peter, you will be catching men. Your mission will no longer be catching fish. Your mission is to go out and bring my word to people." And Peter did that. I know most of us don't think that we ever have that kind of divine intervention in our lives. And most of us are not called to great things. You know, we're not called to be the Pope or a cardinal or a Mother Teresa or somebody like that. Most of us know we're not called to be that. We're called to be pretty much who we are, successful in what we're doing, hardworking, dedicated, honest, caring people. Most of us are probably something like that. So we just don't expect to get a call like Isaiah or Paul or Peter or like some of the other greats, a John Paul, a Pope Francis, you know, people like that. Most of us don't expect that, and we probably don't have to worry about it anyway. But we all, every one of us I know, at some time in our lives, has received a call from our Lord. Every one of us. Now, it's not always easy to identify exactly what it is. It means that sometimes you have to just sit down in a place where you can be quiet for a period of time. I'm not talking to 5 minutes. I'm talking like maybe several hours where you can just be alone and reflect. And you could probably find many instances in your life since your baptism that you have been called by God to do something. It's like an invasion of grace where all of a sudden you have this strong urge to do something, to say something, whatever it may be. And you say, where did that come from? Where did it come from? And probably what it is that grace of God, that call from God to asking you to accomplish something good, where you are, what you're doing, that maybe at work you change a conversation from a slanderous, gossipy conversation, that you change that. Or maybe it's, say, you come home and you pull aside one of your kids because for some reason or other, you know that kid needs extra help at that point in their life. And you somehow just know that you have to do that. Or maybe it's when you're driving home and you remember that you haven't seen your sick aunt for 3 months. And so you stop. Those are graces from God to do something good. And usually they are reaching out to somebody else. Those are those same kind of interventions of God in our lives. He does it all the time. I remember when I was first ordained, I was assigned for a couple weeks. Those days were a lot of priests around. That was a long time ago. There were a lot of priests around, and so when one of the guys would go on vacation, they take the newly ordained and send them there for a couple weeks to cover for the person while they're on vacation. So one of my jobs that first summer was at a hospital in Chicago. And I had no training, no preparation for that at all. And so I'm working there with the other chaplain for a couple days, and he said, I haven't been outside the building for 8 days. He said, how about if I play golf tomorrow and you just kind of control things? So I said, sure, I'm ready. Little did I know. Within 5 minutes after he left the property, there was a call down in the emergency area. And so the nun who was in charge of the emergency area at that time, I said, what's the situation? She said, well, this young lady, a young mother, she had a couple of children. She and her husband had just come to the city to visit. And when they got to their hotel, she lay down and died. Totally unexpected. And so I said, no. Oh, what do I do now? So you give the anointing, you know, and all this sort of thing. And then I said, where's her husband? Well, she said, he went up to the chapel. So I'm on my way up to the chapel. Now, here I'm a young kid at this time. What do you say to somebody in that situation? What do you say? So I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to say to this man? I mean, he's just lost the love of his life, and he has the responsibility of two kids, two little kids. So I went to the chapel, and he was in there. So I waited for a few minutes, and when he came out, I sat down with him. And I don't know what I said, but apparently one of those graces, one of those divine interventions hit me. And whatever I said to him, he stood up and shook my hand. He said, "Thank you. Now I can go tell my kids." So I thought, well, I need to remember what that was, because maybe that would be helpful for somebody else. But you know, to this day, 60 years later, I still don't remember what I said. I really think it was a divine gift, a grace that was given to me for that man at that time. And I think if you think about your own lives, you can probably think of a lot of instances when you said the right thing, did the right thing, and you don't know why you did. But for some reason you did it, and it helped somebody else. That's that same kind of a call that God is constantly issuing. You know, the way he accomplishes his work in this world is through us. We are his body on earth. He accomplishes his work, his mission in the world through us. And I know we sometimes we sit back and we say, well, you know, everything is such a mess. Why doesn't God intervene? Why doesn't he do something about it? And we pray, well, Lord, why don't you come and take care of this mess so that we can kind of maybe start over again and on the right track? And what he says to us is, I did take care of it. But we don't see any results. He said, I sent you. I sent you. We are Christ on earth. We don't believe that. We really don't believe that. I think if we had a greater awareness of that, we would be accomplishing all kinds of wonderful things in our world. Not just here. I mean, the whole church. I think the whole church, if we were truly aware that we are Christ's living presence in this world, if his message, if his example is to get out there, if it's to transform the world as it should, it's going to happen through us. We can wait for some great cataclysm to happen. It's probably not going to happen. He said he will come again at the end of time. In the meantime, I send you. So we have to have that willingness, that openness, to accept that call that he gives to us day after day after day, and to be willing to live it, to reach out, to extend it to the world in which we live. I think that is, we don't want to think about that. We don't want to think about that, the responsibility of that, because it makes us a little nervous. But he said, you don't have to worry, I'm with you all the time. But I call you and send you, just as I did Isaiah, just as I did Paul, just as I did Peter and all the other apostles. I called you, if you respond, I send you. And that's his mission to us in this world. Now, I want to just say a few words about, next Sunday is the annual bishop's appeal, they call it something else now, our Catholic appeal. But what it is it's the annual collection for the operations of the diocese. And of course, our diocese is continuing to grow as more and more Catholics move into the area. And there's more and more offices and more responsibilities and bigger responsibilities. And we're all part of this diocese of Orlando. And so once a year, the bishop calls on us in a special way and says, it's time for you to help us help the diocese with its financial obligations. And they become substantial. It is a big operation, we know that. I'm not even sure how many parishes there are. I guess close to 100, about 90. But there's seminarians, there's the priest and the the salaries and the pensions and the insurances and all of that other stuff. There's Catholic Charities that reaches out to countless numbers of people in our diocese. There's the education offices, religious education offices, the school for the deacons and for lay ministers. And it's just all kinds of stuff that goes on in the diocese. And we all know that's it doesn't just happen. Dioceses do not give us money. They don't give money to parishes. They take money from parishes so they can operate. So that obligation is coming up next week. And what they try to do is proportion the obligation. Each parish is kind of assessed a certain amount of money, depending on their size and all kinds of stuff. I'm not even sure what all the criteria are. But the assessment for Resurrection this year is $181,000. Sounds like a lot of money, but there's a lot of people who go to church here. So if everybody does something, the parish can meet that obligation. You know, one way or another, the parish has to pay for that. If we receive the money for this obligation or not, the parish still has to pay for it. So if the parish has any savings, that takes a chunk out of that. And, you know, in any parish where you have structures and employees and property, you have to have a reserve to make sure that if something happens, it can be taken care of. But if you have to use that reserve to pay because we didn't get enough, that puts an added burden on the parish. So anyway, next week they will have the presentation. They have the bishop's presentation. And many of you, I'm sure, have received something from the office already. And you can bring those along next week and fill them out at home and have them ready to put into the collection next week. But anyway, we just ask that you think about the obligation that the parish has to the diocese and our obligations to the parish, and do what you can so that we can meet that obligation and not be a further drain on the resources of the parish. So thank you.